And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Every year since 1944, the third week in September has been recognized as National Farm Safety and Health Week. It's a week to raise awareness about the hazards of agricultural work. Here in Iowa, there are 30 to 40 people who die from injuries on the farm each year. Between 800 and 1,000 people die nationally, and that's in tractor accidents alone. This half hour, we'd like to listen back to a conversation I had in 2011 with Christy Ruth, who, at the time, was a student at Kirkwood Community College in Iowa City. She's worked to promote farm safety ever since she nearly lost an arm on a Sunday morning in February of 2007. I began by asking her to recount what she remembered about the accident.
The family farm that I live on is a cow-calf operation. I just bought 20 head of heifers, and my dad and my brothers and my mom and I sat down, had a huge breakfast, and decided that we were going to put in a head chute down in the barn because it was a beautiful, sun-shining February day, which we know doesn't come very often. So we, you know, kind of got everything around, went down to the barn, and we were placing it out. We were kind of like doing the steps and marking out. We backed the tractor in so that we could drill a couple post holes so we would have some posts to hold the head chute in. And what happened after that is it was, of course, February. So my brother got up on top of the digger and was pushing all of his weight down into it because it just wouldn't bite.
So this is like a big drill bit.
Oh, yeah. It's like
an auger.
It is. It's an auger that's run by a power takeoff shaft and hooked up to a three-point on the back of an Oliver 1650. So what happened is I was worried about my brother. I had just given a speech on farm safety, the four deadliest causes, tractor rollovers, runovers and falls, accidents on the roadway, and power takeoff shafts. And this was within the last 5 days. And I knew how dangerous these could be. I gave a speech about a guy that was drilling post holes. His arm was stuck on the PTO shaft for 4 hours before his family found his body like 6 feet away. And it was just like horrifying to me. So I moved the pliers pouch on my brother's belt thinking that he was going to get caught. And I'm like, you know, this isn't good. But we kind of had that sense of we're teenagers. We know anything. We've done it 1,000 times before. So my dad kept telling us to get away, find a bar. So my little brother just kind of moseyed off to find a bar so we could hold it with. And it started shaking back and forth. So instantly I thought, I'm going to hold it still so it doesn't hit the side of the barn, because who wants to replace the barn boards on the side when, you know, you could just hold it still.
So you're actually on top of this auger trying to add weight to it or just stabilize
it? Well,
my
brother was on top of it. He had both of his arms out straight trying to put his legs dangling down, trying to put more weight onto it so it would bite in. And I just reached out and put one hand on top and one hand on bottom so it wouldn't rock back and forth, just kind of to hold it still. My dad said that was enough. We needed to stop for the day. We were done. We were going to find something else. Somebody's going to get hurt.
The ground's too frozen.
It was too frozen. So he shut the tractor off. He shut the post hole digger off. And as I pulled my hand away, it cupped my glove, and my glove caught on the shear bolt. Mm. So just the wind down of it, it wrapped like 6 times. My fingertips.
What wrapped 6 times?
My arm. My arm
around
wrapped like 6 times around the PTO shaft that goes back towards the tractor. Every time it wrapped, it broke. It was stretched out so far that my fingertips were about 5 feet away, and you know, arms aren't that long.
And the sounds that you remember from that moment.
Absolutely. There hasn't been a day that I haven't thought about it, and I have yet to have a day without pain. But it's something that I've tried to turn around. My brother, my dad screamed, shut off the tractor. I took my pocket out of my phone. I threw it at my little brother. My older brother was on the phone because
you took your cell phone.
Own cell phone out and threw it at my little brother. So I had two of them were on the phone with the ambulance crew, and I was like, "Somebody get me off of here!" So they actually had to turn the tractor back on, pick the digger up out from the maybe 8-inch hole that it was in, and drive it forward, set it down, and then, of course, on old equipment, they had to shake the PTO shaft back and forth.
Your arm is wrapped and 6 times around this shaft
the
whole time they're doing this.
Insanely, and it was so tight. I mean, to touch it, it was like wrapping a wet towel around, I don't know, maybe a pop bottle and squeeze it real tight. And there was no extra fabric. There was no extra movement. And it was just, it was so tense around it. And what they did is, my brother is infamous for having a dull pocket knife. Not anymore. He always makes sure he has a sharp one. But he, once they got it unattached from the tractor, shaking it back and forth. My arm and the shaft unattached. It relieved so much pressure. And it at that point in time, I could handle the pain. And I'm like, okay, this will be all right. I'll be fine. They had to cut the pieces of coat and skin that were wrapped around it. So that they could unravel. So my brother would cut a 6-inch strip, pass my hand over the top of the bar to my right hand, and I would just pass it back and forth to him.
Is there any feeling in your arm and your hand at this point?
Once we got it unwrapped, my fingertips were down below my knee, and I kind of doubled it over, cradled it in my arm, and I couldn't feel from my elbow down. My elbow up, I felt everything, and it hurt. Oh, man, did it hurt.
Oh, my gosh.
But I couldn't feel from my elbow down. So I was thinking, you know what? It's fine. A girl in my school was born without an arm from the elbow down. She functions fine. Maybe she could teach me how to do a couple things. It'll be all right. They'll take it off. Well, right there, we can work with this. And I was just kind of looking at the positive side of things. I was like, Sarah can do it. I can do it. Mm. So we walked up to the house. And luckily, the ambulance crew is our next door neighbors. So my mom had taken my brother's friend home, and we heard a car coming down the road. My brother went out in the middle of the road, did jumping jacks, went everywhere, and they were just going to stop whoever it was driving down the road so I could get in with them and get up to the fire station. And by the time that we got there, we met the ambulance crew there, and our next door neighbor kind of pushed us up into the thing, and my mom was doing that, oh, what did you do now thing, because she wasn't there. All she saw was the little piece of white tissue on my wrist. She thought I broke my wrist. And I'm like, Mom, quit complaining. Just get on the gas pedal. Let's get out of here. It hurts. So when we got into the ambulance and they had to cut my coat off, she was there, and the EMT, he's in his late 60s, and his face just went white. And she knew that something was wrong, and my arm went every which way. They ended up getting a tourniquet on it and brought a helicopter down from Des Moines.
First airlifted to, I believe, Mercy in Des Moines?
Absolutely.
Then after that, you went to the UI hospitals in Iowa City.
They did. Mercy in Des Moines said they couldn't do anything. They would have to amputate it at my shoulder because of the fact that there was no blood flow to my fingers. I had severed the artery right above my elbow, which may had a little bit to do with why I couldn't feel anything. It also cut all the nerves. So because of that break, it wouldn't allow the blood flow to my fingers, and they couldn't repair that much damage. So the surgeon came to my dad and said, if this was my daughter, she would be on her way to Iowa City. So back in the helicopter we went.
And it's miraculous. I'm sitting across from you in the studio. I couldn't notice. I find it difficult to believe that you were in this accident, because your arm, your hand looks perfectly normal.
Yeah, I've worked really hard at this. I'm kind of one of those people, when people tell me I can't do something, I make it a goal. Mm-hmm. So they told me I would be in the hospital for 3 months and intensive care for 3 weeks, and I got out in 11 days. They told me I would never be able to put my arm straight. My physical therapist just told me flat out, the way that the joint is, the way that they replaced your elbow, you will not be able to put your arm straight. So that was the first thing I did. They told me I'd never be able to touch the top of my head. I can do that. I can touch my nose, which took a lot of time. And I can almost touch my shoulder. If I have really long fingernails and a sweatshirt on, I can reach it. But it's getting closer and closer.
That is a remarkable story. And Christy, I'm so happy that this story has a happy ending. It is a horrible farm accident, but fortunately, this great ending. And what's interesting here too is that you knew how dangerous farms were before your uncle died in a farm accident in 2005 in Cedar County. Tell us about that.
Absolutely.
What happened?
That's actually what started the spark for farm safety with me and my family. My brothers and I constructed a farm safety presentation for our county fair, because March 5th of 2005, my uncle was feeding cattle, and he had a little International 400, and he had a large round bale, and he had it up too high. when he was driving down the hill, marches a little wet and muddy, and he wasn't paying close enough attention. He was kind of reckless. He'd rolled a tractor about 6 times before and just walked away from it. So he was kind of, you know, one of those farmers that thinks.
But it was an everyday thing. It was something he'd done 100 times.
Oh, definitely.
100
this
times.
Is something you feed cattle sometimes twice a day, depending on how many times they need a bale. And so it's just, you know, going along. They had actually planned on going a Harley ride that afternoon. His fiance and best friend were standing at the top of the gate waiting for him to get done so they could go out. And it got a little slick. He started sliding down the hill and it overturned on him. And he was trapped underneath. They brought the helicopter in. And I remember getting the phone call. My dad, when Susie, his fiance, called my mom, my dad, we didn't know what to do. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I hope this never happens on our farm. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking that day, I hope something this bad never happens at our house. I don't know how I would handle it.
Christy Ruth is with us. If you just joined us, she had a serious injury in February 2007. Her arm caught on the shaft of an auger on her family farm. This was in 2007. Miraculously survived that and miraculously has an arm that looks as normal as anybody's arm and seems to work as normal as anyone's arm. Tell us, what do you know about the common themes in preventing farm accidents? We have to look at the common themes that cause the accidents on a farm. What do you know about that?
Absolutely. I feel that complacency is a huge thing. There's a lot of people, my neighbor down the road, he runs the same stop sign every day, and all he ever has to say about it is, no one's coming this time of day anyways, why should I wear out my clutch?
So he just blows
through
the stop sign. He just
blows through the stop sign, and he was hit broadside, actually, a couple summers ago, and he kind of pays attention now, but it's people...
He's all right.
Yeah. He was in a tractor, they were in a car.
Okay.
So it's people doing the same things over and over and over, not keeping equipment up to date, because we replaced the shear bolt that morning and put one then in that was a little bit too long. We didn't have a shield on it because we had just picked the digger up from a farm sale. People just kind of want to get stuff done, move on with their thing. Farming is a lifestyle. So not only does it affect people that work there, it affects children, it affects elderly. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not something that you can just go home and, you know, spend the day with your wife sitting drinking coffee and talking about your day. People are out there until midnight. It's harvest season. People are out until the dew sets in and they have to let it dry off before they can go out again.
So is it a mindset thing? You said complacency, or is it also that our farm equipment, some of it outdated, is not as safe as it could be?
I definitely believe that it's both. And it's not just two things. There's a lot of different things, but those are two important things. The equipment today sold through dealerships is regulated. If you get a piece of older equipment, you have to make sure that the safety standards are up to date. They have to have safety chains. They have to have ROPS. They have to have the proper working equipment before that is resold off of their lot. But you still have farmers to farmers selling. You have auctions and all sorts of things going on. I mean, it's impossible to regulate, and people think it's really expensive. But if you compare, $350,000 for the first 11 days to a month of the last 5 years, is what my bills came to. And we haven't got the remaining 4.5 years worth of bills yet, or $6,000 to $10,000 for a funeral. $1,500 to put a ROPS on a tractor isn't that much.
Right. You're a farm girl. You grew up a
Absolutely.
Farm girl. You're at Kirkwood now. I'm just astounded when I look at the statistics of how many farm accidents there are here in Iowa and around the nation. That must mean that, you know, among people who grow up on farms, you know, your uncle died, you had a farm accident. You must know a number of people who've had farm accidents.
I do. It seems
does
that,
it touch every family?
It seems that it does. It touches a family, and whether it was a neighbor, whether it was a friend, whether it was somebody in their county, their community, a friend of a friend. Just last night, was it last night or yesterday? There was a tractor rollover out on Rarit Boulevard or Rarit Road.
In Iowa City.
Yeah, just right here. And it happens to everybody at some point in time. Maybe it's two generations back, but this is something that claims lots of lives. and people are missing fingers. It's not uncommon to see an old farmer missing a finger or maybe a hand, and or scars. A professor of mine at college is missing the tip of one of his fingers, and I'm not even sure he's 30 yet.
Mm. So mindset, complacency, and the safety, getting your equipment up to safety standards. You said there were other things that you thought were behind the number of accidents on farms. What are some other factors?
It all kind of varies, differences and things. I have a friend that puts I have a friend that has a 65-pound toolbox that he puts on the seat of a combine so that the it will still run so he can work on it. That is ignorance.
Why?
The reason that it shuts off in certain areas of the combine, it won't run parts of the head for safety reasons. So that if there's not two people around, one person to sit in the seat to shut off and turn on the equipment, and one person to look at it or work on it, then you can't work on it. And he puts a toolbox on the seat to get around all of the safety things that we've put in place. And I keep telling him.
The weight of the toolbox.
Weight of the toolbox will allow the tractor to, or the combine to run so he can look at it and work on it and then go back and shut it off. And I keep telling him something's going to happen and I'm going to just stand there above him in a coffin and say, I told you so. I'm not going to be sad. I told him that I'm going to stand above him and say, I told you so. And he says, oh no, it's not going to happen to me. And I said the same thing. So you can't say, and he's right. Something may not happen, but I'm just,
well,
what's
I'm a little behind touchy. The taking that risk? He's talking to someone who had a serious farm accident, luckily came away with it.
Oh,
you
I
came
know.
Away with it with your life. Your arm is repaired. Is that a common mindset? It won't happen to me on the farm?
And I believe it is. I've run into so many different people that have said, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you, but that's never going to happen on our farm. And I try and tell every single person that I said the same thing. It's not going to happen to me, so why should I worry about it? When I'm teaching farm safety, why would I get in a farm accident? It's unreal.
Right. So people listening who are doing farm work right now, they may have done it every day for the last 5 years, what they're doing now.
They may
but
have
that
done
doesn't
it every...
mean anything, does it?
Not at a, if it's not, not even a, the slightest. It's not, they may have done it every day for the last 60 years, and something could still go wrong. Maybe there's a little extra gravel pile on one side. Maybe somebody's not paying attention. Maybe there's somebody that's texting and driving. You have to look out for other factors, not just what you normally do, because accidents on the roadway. So if there's somebody texting and driving, and you're making a left-hand turn, and you can have a collision on the road. If you're trying to fix equipment and you don't see that maybe it's plugged over here, you try and get it and it can grab you. A quarter of an inch of fabric is all it takes for something to catch and for you to lose your arm, your leg, or your life.
You, Christy, may I ask what you're studying at Kirkwood? You're a student at Kirkwood now?
I am.
You're living in Coralville? What are you studying?
I am living in Coralville. I'm an ag transfer student. So I kind of got a couple gen eds under my belt because I'm a poor farmer and I couldn't afford to go to Iowa State right out of the gate. So I spent 2.5 years at Kirkwood, and I've got a bunch of friends that got their degree and transferred over, and like 14 credits didn't transfer. So I'm just kind of doing it credit by credit mm-hmm. because I'm getting into the gray area and getting it cheaper to go to Iowa State, and I'm going to get a degree in public service and administration and agriculture.
How will this accident shape you, the fact that your uncle died in this tractor rollover tragically, the fact that you narrowly escaped with your life, will that shape your future career in agriculture, do you see?
I definitely feel it already has. I've been doing speeches, traveling around, since I had just gotten my license when I turned 16. When I turned 16, I drove out to Nebraska by myself to give a farm safety speech right after I started my junior year in high school. So in between my sophomore and junior year in high school, I was already going out to county fairs, anybody that would listen, giving speeches. I spent a 2-year term with Farm Safety for Just Kids as their national youth rep. And then I've gone on to work with numerous other organizations. Progressive Agriculture is who I'm working with now. They have an amazing message. They fund safety days. They teach kids. They teach adults. They do things for Amish and Mennonite communities as well because they're affected just as much as we are. They just don't have the TV to relay it to everybody else. So it's something that I feel is really important because it affects so many people, and it's definitely a passion of mine.
And it's very nice to think I can say with a fair degree of certainty that your work, this conversation, your work into the future will prevent an untold number of accidents, Christy.
Well, thank you very much.
And you must be aware of that as well.
I try, but I'm like...
What a motivation.
Anything to get me through the day, to say that if I can help somebody else, maybe this is why it happened. I had a neighbor at home that said, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but this couldn't have happened to a better person, somebody that's going to do something about it, rather than sit at home and say, oh, poor me, why me? So I've worked really hard to be where I'm at today, and even getting second jobs to pay for speeches for gas money to go out and help kids. But it's kids, adults, and everybody alike. Anybody who will listen, I'll talk their ear off.
Once again, Christy, Ruth, thank you for coming into our studio and sharing this story, which will hopefully help many, many people prevent an accident on the farm.
And I hope it does. Thank you so much for having me come in.
Christy Ruth, in 2007, when she was 16 years old, she severely injured herself in a farm accident. You can see a photo of the jacket Christy was wearing when she caught her arm in that auger at our website at iowapublicradio.org. There's also a video there where you can see Christy's parents and brothers recount what happened. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Our theme music is written and performed by the River Monks. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.